Welcome to Vinyl Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Ploof.
Ploof didn't have his microphone in front of his face.
For I sure didn't. Classic me.
And this is the podcast.
It's a human podcast.
Where we come together, we share, we bond, we break bread. And we listen to Peace or Love.
We broke pizza earlier.
The fourth album by band Kings of Convenience.
Yeah, or at least like
12. It's just Kings of Convenience. Later. It's an indie folk pop duo made up of Norwegians Erland Oi and Eric Glambeck Bo. There's accents I don't understand.
It's the zeros with the holes through them. No, the
O's. Yeah. Erland and Eric met each other in grade school and have been making music together ever since, with Kings of Convenience starting officially in 1999.
That's crazy.
KOC. It's Kings of Convenience, in case you're wondering. Wow. Found pretty steady success in their first three albums, but ended up taking a 12-year hiatus before releasing new music between the third and fourth albums because of how technical their music is. They just wanted it to be really good. They're like, we're not perfectionists, but the music we're making is pretty technical, so it's got to like, it's got to be consistent. It's got to be good. It's got to be like what we want it to be like. And they actually recorded this album five times before releasing it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of stories. I actually watched part of a short documentary where they're like, we were in the city and Belgium and we just tried to record it again. And we thought it was an early draft and we recorded it more, but we ended up liking it more because it was stripped down and felt really real because it was like the first time we performed it. And there's others where they're like, that raw feeling didn't work at all. So we actually re-recorded it in a professional studio in this other city and we liked that. Or songs had different features for that same reason. They're like, we were at a festival and Feist was here and we really liked it, so we used one with her. But it originally had the staves. And it's like, oh, it's a cool way of making music. It took a long time, though. 12 years.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out that their first album was like 1999. Or they formed in 99, and then 2001 is when it came out. Yeah. Very interesting. They kind of remind me of Hall & Oates. But with like way more technical acoustic guitar.
He's going to say Simon Garfunkel. Any band with two men. Tears for Fears.
No, but they're like all like really.
Is it two people? Tears for Fears.
Well, I haven't seen the cover for From the High Chair or whatever.
It is two guys. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's two guitar guys and like a bunch of pretty lyrics and pretty guitar. I don't know. It reminds me of Hall & Oates.
Reminds me of the Black Keys.
Really?
Reminds me of Erasure. It's just two guys.
Erasure. It reminds me of Disclosure. It doesn't remind me of any of those things.
Yeah. Well, this album was pretty well received when it was released in June of 2021. No. The only negative review being that the album is too soothing. Well, you guess who said that? Pitchfork, because they hate music. They gave it a 6.7 and said that their American cynicism wanted the Norwegians to show some cracks in the relaxed facade, which makes me think that they didn't listen to the album. Because most of the lyrics are sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pitchfork truly does hate music. We joke about it every time we can.
You know what, though? Pitchfork's no more. Ding dong.
Yeah. Rest Pitchfork in peace. Dead. You're back to GQ, or you're in GQ now.
Yeah. You're just part of GQ.
I stumbled across KOC. I don't know if that's actually shorter than saying Kings of Convenience. Kings? Back in 2010.
Them guys.
Just from being on the internet.
Crazy.
I don't really remember listening to them back then, to be honest. I was just going through my favorites playlist, just going back to see what I liked, and their song Misread from their 2004 album Right on the Street was in that playlist surrounded by other videos from 2010, so I assume that's when I put it on there. And then I re-listened to it and I was like, this is pretty good. And there's a little update in the description that said Kings of Convenience returned with their first new music in 12 years, listen to Rocky Trail and pre-order blah 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 blah, and I thought sure and clicked on it, and this was like a year ago, and listened to Rocky Trail and it was like, hell yeah, brother. This is peaceful as fart. It totally was the right vibe for like the mood I was in. And I've been hooked on Kings of Convenience, mostly just Rocky Trail ever since.
I really like Rocky Trail.
Oh, man. What a vibe.
The rest of the album's fine. It's good. It's okay. Oh, my God. Rocky Trail is fantastic.
It's so good.
I love that like smooth jazz or like bossa nova kind of vibe
to it.
It's
got a harmony to it.
I am all about Rocky Trail.
Analyzing a track. Let's wait for that.
Oh,
it is so good.
Cool your jets are young.
It's been my go-to relaxing song this summer since I first found it.
I believe it.
I only listened to the full album like 5 or 6 months ago, and I bought Peace or Love shortly after that because it really is a good vibe. It's one of my favorite albums at the moment. I listen to it a lot. It's one of the first ones I put on when I have company because it fits whatever mood you're in. The songs can be happy and hopeful or pensive and kind of like cold. Or nostalgic, I think is a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. Depending on how you read the lyrics and let the instruments wash over you. Like, some of the lyrics can be like, you're hoping the relationship will get back together, but you can also read into it as like a remembering what you've lost, depending on the mood you're in.
Yeah. And if you just have it on, it's Starbucks core.
Yeah. It's just bossa nova jazzy guitar music. It's a great spring album for that reason as well, because it fits the warmth as well as like the cool, refreshing rain. I think it's really, really good.
Sure.
And we talked about it a bit at the end of last week's episode, that the title really fits with that as well. You can choose the piece of moving on from the relationship or love and the hurt that can come from that. And you can kind of get both sides of that from most of the songs on this album.
Yeah. Only one or the other, though.
I like this album. It's one of those things where, like, there are elements of it that are reminiscent of other people. Like, they have stated that they have taken inspiration from Simon and Garfunkel, and I agree with them.
Yeah, I can see that, too.
Because they do, like, the harmonizing that Simon and Garfunkel do.
Yeah.
You know, same with, like, the Everly Brothers or something like that, or the Righteous Brothers. But they do some, like, really good guitar work, like some of later Simon and Garfunkel, or like Cat Stevens did. Cat Stevens is a good guitarist.
It's deceptively good.
Yeah.
Because it sounds so simple, then it's like, whoa, actually.
Yeah.
You like watch them play, and it's like, they're going up and down the neck.
Yeah.
They're pretty much shredding.
They're very good. The music is somewhat understated, but I enjoyed it. And they have nice, soothing sounding voices.
They're whispering in your ear.
The lyrics are occasionally morose, sad.
Yeah. It's interesting because they're singing all in English, the entire album.
Yeah.
I think all of their albums. And you can sometimes tell where it's like...
It's a little of an accent.
For me, it's more like I can tell that this is not maybe the right word choice. Where I'm like, this kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
There's ones where I think I have it noted down. So I might come up later where I was like, okay. Like, if you were a native English speaker, I don't know if this sentence would be something you would choose to say. But I think it's very, very good. I think it's a very good album.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Pleaf?
No, it was great. I really love the acoustic guitars. Very pretty throughout the whole thing. There were, like, one or two songs where, like, yes, it's really technical, but I wish it sounded a bit more technical, like almost like a Django Reinhardt solo or something to that effect.
Yeah, sure.
It would have fit just on a couple tracks. I was like, this was really good, and I'm sure what they're doing is difficult, but I would have loved it if it sounded slightly more difficult than how it does. But but like, it was good. And then Rocky Trail is amazing. I wish the whole album sounded more like Rocky Trail, but I didn't hate the rest of it. I thought it was all fine. I just, Rocky Trail was definitely very standout for me. And like,
yeah, there's only a couple songs where they add other instruments and it gets to be a bit more produced.
Yeah, a lot of them are just kind of like a couple guys with guitars and they're singing and some guest vocals maybe or like whatever. Whereas Rocky Trail is like a lot more going on and it's just feels complete and just... But that being said, I love like smooth jazz and bossa nova or like calypso stuff. Like I love all that stuff and I can just put it on all day long.
You know what I don't like? Feist. Don't like her.
No?
No, you're wrong.
Did she do the guest vocals on that one song?
So she's the only one that features.
Two songs.
Yeah, she's the only one that features. She features on Love is a Lonely Thing and Catholic Country.
I think I mostly don't like Feist because I enjoyed Broken Social Scene and she was the only one who really made it out of Broken Social Scene.
What about the one from Metric?
Sure. But anyway.
Metric's probably more popular than Feist.
Yeah, I would say Metric is more popular than Feist.
Yeah, I don't know. I know.
But Feist was in that Apple commercial for the iPod Nano.
One, two, three. Song sucks.
What about My Moon, My Man? Great song.
I don't know that one.
I don't know enough Red about Wing, Feist to I'm have
not,
an
I'm
opinion.
Not, I'm just not into Feist.
Also, she's Canadian, so.
I liked her on this album, though. She was good on the album.
I'm not a huge fan of like some of the things she does with her voice and stuff like that.
No, that's fair.
It's not for me. So.
You're wrong, but that, no, it's fine.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding.
I'm okay with being wrong.
Yeah, I it's one of those ones where I'm like, I don't think I could really understand if someone didn't like it, unless it's just like completely a genre they don't like.
Sure.
But I could see if someone didn't love it.
Yeah.
Because of that mildness.
That's kind of where I'm at. I think that like, if everything was Rocky Trail, I would have loved this album. But as is, there are some songs where I'm like, this one's kind of boring. Or like, there's just not enough going on here for me. But most of them, I'm like, yes, this is very pretty. The guitar is very nice. The singing is fine or good even.
I think the majority of the songs I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you that it's my favorite album this year. That was last week.
Most of that, the horrors.
You're right. I don't think you can fault the album for being too easy listening.
No.
That was too easy to listen to.
Damn, I wanted something more harsh.
Please scream at me draw like Nirvana in last week's episode.
Draw a smaller circle, please.
Why don't we get into it? I'm excited to talk about it.
Sure.
You know, it's only two songs to get to Rocky Trail, so. I thought your shoes were good. I thought they would take you to the end of any road. No doubt an angel, though she might be just slightly promiscuous. The more I know about you, the more I know I want you, the less I care about who was sent before I found you. Rumors. A cute and sad song about someone trying to support their partner because people are talking smack about them behind their back.
Smack. Yeah, I liked how nice and softly they're singing. The harmonized vocals are great. This is where I was like, I really like the two guitars. They sound very pretty together.
It's interesting because I didn't mention this in the intro, I guess, but it applies for most songs. Is it's like your head is the microphone. And they're kind of like on either side.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, like, they're in both sides. Like, they're not hard panned, but.
One's more prominent.
Eric is always on the right and Aaron's in the left or whatever it is. And so you can really hear the differences in their guitars, which again just shows the technicality of like which one's playing which I enjoy.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting to start with a more bluntly sad song. Like, it's just talking about how lies and rumors have grown so big that you can't meet anyone's expectations. So, why even try? And. The song, I don't know if it's supposed to be ominous, because it's like, I know you can't hear me now. And it talks about how the whispers turned into people actually calling them names in public to like hurt their feelings and stuff. So I was like, is the person dead? Like, what happened in this song? Do we bully them to death?
Yeah.
So it's just like, man, it's very interesting to have, again, just like this light, fluffy song that it's like, ah, I know you can't hear me anymore, but. You can make it. I love the reverbs and the ethereal guitar picking and the vocals.
Yeah.
I think it's a decent start. I've got no major qualms. I think it's good.
It's a very Simon and Garfunkel-esque, like Wednesday morning 3 a.m. kind of.
I listen to Simon and Garfunkel.
I like Simon and Garfunkel. You own a Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, I think I've maybe listened to one.
You have Bookends, right?
The one with he's wearing the bad hat. The bad white hat and the white jacket, and then the other guy's wearing
that's,
the brown jacket.
Oh, that's a different. That's still crazy after all these years.
That's probably the one I have.
Yeah.
But up next is Rocky Trail.
Oh my god!
What a good music video too. They're in like a little art studio, Oh yeah, they're just walking around playing the guitars, and like it's a beautiful art studio. It really fits this vibe. What a good song! It's the first song they came back with after their 12-year hiatus. It's a banger.
I love the change of pace. Thing. I think it's really fun. They've got some really choice guitar licks. Very like smooth jazz, bossa nova harmonies are great.
Yeah, the strings, the quick finger picking. Oh. It just makes me want to dance in the kitchen, like immediately.
Finger picking.
It's an amazing song. I wish the whole album was basically Rocky Trail, the album.
Rocky Trail, the album?
Yeah, that's it.
And it's interesting because it's another one that feels so high energy.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, I was a bad partner. It's like them coming to realize that they just kept reacting to things instead of asking what their partner needed.
Mm.
And it's like, it hits too close to home. He's like, I kind of understand why you want to leave. I guess I never asked you what you wanted. I just assumed you were strong enough or assumed you could do this on your own.
Yeah.
And just because you didn't ask me, and that's not really a good thing. Easily one of my go-to songs, When the Sun Is Out. I actually wish it was a touch longer. The chorus only plays once.
Yep.
Oh, fair.
I'd be totally fine with it.
I was like, this song flies by. Like, it's 3.5 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Flies by.
7.5.
One chorus. And then it feels like it's about to start to the chorus again. And then it just strums out. I'm like, oh, please, one more.
You tease me.
But it just makes me put it on loop.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Jamie?
No, I like the song. It's good. I like the little harmonies. I like the little string thing at the beginning. Solid song. I don't know if I like it as much as Ploof likes it.
Oh, I love Rocky Trail. It's fantastic.
It's like the itchy and scratchy thing. And you really like the Speedo guy.
I have no idea what you're referencing. Right. Yeah.
Well, audience, let us know what you think. That was the first song.
I don't know what you're getting to on that one.
That was the first song in the One Last Listen. I think it's good. Ploof thinks it's good. Jamie thinks it's Speedo Guy?
I got lost there. I think it's fine. I think it's a good song.
Up next is Comb My Hair, a song about trying to move on from a past relationship, but realizing things aren't as easy as they seem to move on.
Yeah.
These guys really are masters of finger picking.
Yeah.
Very light finger picking.
Yeah.
Ooh.
really nice vocalizing too. Like they harmonize well together. It makes sense that they've been doing this a long time together.
It sounds so wide.
Yeah.
It's like, man, how do they harmonize so perfectly? I watched a video. It was actually with Feist. It's a song that she was writing and they were sitting with her and they were just like watching her and immediately picked it up and were picking and singing along. I'm like, these guys are good. Like, yeah like you said, they've clearly been playing together for so long and like really care about this music. And again, this one was really good with the separation, the left and right channels.
Yeah,
you know, it's another bummer, upbeat kind of song about how you may as well not comb your hair or go outside or wake up anymore. She's not there anymore.
I wrote, it's a little mellow, too mellow for me now that I've had a taste of Rocky Trail. Mm.
Yeah, there's no chorus in this one either.
I didn't pick up on that.
Verse, song ends.
Yeah, that's cool.
I get behind that.
Mm-hmm. Sad. Thoughts, Jamie?
No. I think I went through them. It's another very, very Simon and Garfunkel, early Simon and Garfunkel type song. Very nice, light finger picking, but intricate, but very light. I liked it.
This one's a little bit more upbeat. It's Angel. It's a very bossa nova feeling song about how he's realized his partner might be cheating on him.
Yeah, I love this one, too.
It's very easy listening. Very much could be played at a Starbucks and no one would notice. No one would bat an eye.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree. It still grabs a little bit more attention for me. I like the chorus and how they're like, she's an angel, but how do I put this? She might be slightly promiscuous. I'm like, that's such a funny way to say that. It's like, I love her so much. I think she's cheating on me, though. She could not be sure.
Yeah.
They're such polite boys. Even when they're being cheated on, it's like, I mean, she's truly an angel. I like the quiet
Except
strings
for
the in the
one
background.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, I like the quiet strings in the background. It adds some volume to the song. So again, ups that production value, kind of like Rocky Trail, yet still leaves a focus on the guitars and the vocals.
Yeah, pretty much just agree, full stop. I think it's really good. I definitely prefer when they're playing a bit faster or with a bit more going on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Angel and Rocky Trail are great songs.
I like Angel. I think I like Rocky Trail more.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
It's so good. No wonder they came back with that song.
Yeah.
Up next is the first one featuring Feist. Love is a Lonely Thing.
It's a lonely thing.
I really like the guest vocalist. I like Feist here. I think they pair really well together. More sad lyrics.
Yeah, she has a nice voice. I think it adds to the song, but it's just one short verse. Like it's I think it's Eric and then Feist and then Erland. Or maybe it's Eric again, but
yeah.
I was like, huh, they didn't overuse it.
Yeah, Feist doesn't do anything for me, but she doesn't do the track for the song.
Yeah.
Verse is short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Apparently, originally, when they played this one live, they would all sing each verse. All kind of sang together. And then they were like, actually, it kind of makes it more like a story you're hearing from different perspectives to have it be
one.
Which I think is an interesting way to change up the story in that subtle way. I don't think the lyrics are saying so much that enhances the song a ton.
No.
But I do like the separate verses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just another sad song about love being challenging. You have to be patient.
Yep.
You have to give love, yet love is also extremely painful and lonely, and you also can't live without it. I think it's a nice break from the upbeat feeling songs just to have a song that feels sad and kind of is sad. But other than that, standard.
Yeah.
After that, back to a faster song.
Fever.
I've got that fever. So catchy.
This album is very on and off for me. God, I love it when they're just doing more. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I actually kind of like how it's very back and forth because they don't do like a weird cadence. Like, it's very like on off, which can actually be really cool. But I don't know, for this one, I'm just like, nah, give me the faster stuff. But yeah, it's got some nice rhythm guitar. I think this one goes on a little bit too long, but I like the piano quite a bit on the outro. So it kind of makes up for it.
This is another one where you were right earlier when you said that they maybe didn't choose the right words. Because they use the words like, it's like warm and warm and warm and cold. And
yeah,
like,
fever, you got fever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
What does that mean?
It's like, I got fever.
Kind of makes sense. But like also kind of doesn't, I guess.
Yeah. No,
in like the more direct
sense.
Way.
Yeah.
It's a more traditional song structure. So it's four verses, two choruses. Something you're not guaranteed to get in this album. I like the piano and cello that come in around 2:45.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Fever, you've got Fever. It gets me dancing every single time. It's so catchy. Again, I like that bossa nova feel.
This is the first miss on this album for me.
Really?
This is the first one I didn't like.
Yeah, I definitely still liked Fever.
Mm-hmm. I didn't. No. Like
it's not bad.
Legitimately,
I get it.
It's not a bad song. It's just it wasn't what I was looking for.
Yeah, no fair.
They can't all be zingers though.
No,
they can't.
Killers, trying to kill time till maybe she comes back to you. Another dreadfully sad song.
Yeah.
Dreadfully song in a beautiful way. I love the last line after like all this like longing and sorrow. And it's the last line is, it's the blood that heals the wound. And it comes after a very brief instrumental. And it said just moments before the song ends to kind of leave it on a note of acceptance, but still pain and like sad. Yeah. It's very, very, it's very, very nice. I think it's very emotional. It's one of the first songs again where the tone is really sad and the lyrics are really sad.
I think this one's hard to describe for me because this is obviously more melancholy, but it retains like that same light finger picking that's very pretty.
Yeah,
it is. It's still very folky.
Yeah,
it doesn't leave that genre of just like.
But if you didn't listen to the lyrics, or maybe if you didn't speak English,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't know that the lyrics are like very dark. Mm-hmm. There's so much very dark, but like sad.
The mm-hmm. whole album is like very ethereal and just light.
That's a good way of describing it. Yeah.
Absolutely. This is a walking through a forest on a cold day. Just like
taking a nature hike.
Yeah, it's just like, huh. Just pondering. This is a pondering song.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about Killers. I thought it was a little more boring than some of the other songs, but I very clearly like the faster songs mm-hmm. on this album.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna be 50-50 for me.
Yeah, almost literally like, just
50-50. Yeah, almost literally.
Up next, Ask for Help. Don't be afraid to ask for help, smiley face. That's one of my few notes.
Very pretty guitar work. They harmonize it nicely.
It's got a couple of really long instrumentals in it.
Yeah, nice solo a bit before, like halfway through, kind of long.
Yeah,
it's good.
I like that.
Yeah, this is, it's kind of got some interesting, it's just an interesting idea for a song. It's like, if you want to do good, but you're not skilled enough, ask for help.
Pretty
if
much.
You got people behind you and you aren't a leader, ask for help. I'm like, yeah, I guess. And it's just a funny idea for a song. It's pretty, it's not super standout, but I did write note as well that I really like the longer instrumental ending on this one. After that, the second Feist feature, Catholic Country. It's a faster song.
Yeah,
it is.
What do you think, Bloof?
This one's okay. I'm not as crazy about it as I am with the rest of them.
What? In the capital city.
Like, it's still good. It's still good. But if I had to pick, like, the worst of all the faster, like, more bossa nova songs.
It's like they
took a
trip to Spain and they're like, what's something people know about Spain? Oh, it's Catholic.
It's very Catholic. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I prefer this to the two Feist songs. She has a pretty voice, so I get to hear it more here because it's not just the one short verse. There's also a lot of imagery. So, like, talking about, you know, your feet in the shag carpet and trying to do stretches to get awake in the morning because it's so early. I also like the subtle noise in the background. Like, there's a creaky door opening just to add some kind of weight in the room because it sounds like a microphone just in the room kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
Which, again, when you kind of know about how they've recorded this album, makes it just feel more real that they're
recorded
live
in a room in Spain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The little instrumental before the bridge around a minute 20 is also super pretty. Of the piano twinkling in the background with the three of them ooing. I also really like that this one has a sudden end. It gives a shared chorus a bit more weight because then it's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
It's good. I like it when songs end instead of
dragging on. Fade out. Way too long. I know we're not a huge fan of the fade out. Fade out doesn't bother me, but...
Yeah, you're sick.
Just ending songs is also really cool. Or songs that segue into other songs.
I still play that one from Empire of the Sun.
Those can work really well. Yeah.
That's an excellent fade in, though.
Yeah, I think it's Country and whatever the next one is.
Yeah, something like that.
Then Song About It. This is a Jack Johnson song.
It's about it.
This is not a bad thing, but this is just straight up a Jack Johnson song.
What the hell is it?
I didn't think of that originally.
You're right.
But now that you mention it, because like I like Jack Johnson. I like a bunch
he's
of
great.
His stuff. I
think this is a Jack Johnson.
But this is 100%.
The way they're singing and even some of the harmonies, I'm like, this is a Jack Johnson.
It's totally a Jack Johnson.
Do I
even the lyrics?
Own any
That's
Jack Johnson
so funny.
Albums?
Oh, I wish I did. They're pretty expensive too.
Which one has banana pancakes on it?
Mickey Banana
That's
Pancakes.
That's the one with the yellow tree. I can't remember what it is. Something Daydreams? That's the one before it.
Anyways. Banana Pancakes.
Can't remember.
Very good. I like the quick picking between the chorus and the verse. It's probably my least favorite song. It's a little one note.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it very
much. Yeah. It's just a little one note. I don't think it's a skip. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to skip it. In no way would ever go to put it on, though.
Yeah, never.
Mm, yeah. Well, it's tucked away at the end of the album, too.
Yeah.
Almost. So, we got Washing Machine.
Yeah, there's almost nothing notable to say about it. But you're right. Your analysis that it is a Jack Johnson song. Yeah, it is. It's 1,000% a Jack Johnson song.
Then Washing Machine. After all this heartbreak break, the KOC boys are over it. Go find someone else instead of taking advantage of vulnerabilities in other people. I like that there's actually a slight error in the violin that plays in the background. Unironically, it adds so much character because, again, it adds that realism to, like...
It's a real person playing.
Yeah, they're doing all this in one take. They're just picking away at doing it.
And they made an oopsie.
And they kept it.
I just listen to so much digital music lately that I'm like, oh, yeah.
Humans do play music.
It's like a human podcast for human people.
I mean, so there's a whole thing about digital drums, hey, where you can get an app. I mean, people used to do this manually, but if you make it too tight and too perfect, it doesn't sound right. It sounds unnatural. So there's certain programs that'll actually go in and ever so slightly off time a lot of your drums when you're producing.
That's kind
of
AI.
Yeah.
Algorithm.
Yeah.
Blockchain.
Because exactly, it sounds too like perfect. Like, no, you can tell.
I mean, clearly, like, I liked this mistake.
Yeah, you could tell when someone's using, like, a drum machine.
I liked that door
sound.
Crypto
drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that's really interesting. Because, yeah, the song, like the last one, I like this more than the last song, but also kind of just, like, feels like another song before it ends. Like, I feel like if they cut it off at Catholic Country, it would have been tighter and less kind of, quote-unquote, filler. I don't think this one's that bad, but it's whatever. I like, again, that mix of a darker tone, but it's not...
Yeah.
So far into it, like the other songs I like.
That was fine. Yeah. It's a fine end to the album. I agree. They could have just cut it. The album would have been pretty short, though, like just over 30 minutes.
Yeah, because it's 37 minutes currently.
Yeah. So it's fine that it's there. It doesn't, like, it's not like the album's dragging on.
We've listened to a bunch of 35 minute albums this year.
Well, that would make it 32.
That would have made, make it just over 30. So it'd be barely an EP.
They do need to make money, they need that listen time.
They need to listen to them.
And they're getting a lot from you.
They're barely an LP.
I gotta listen to it more digitally.
Mm.
But let's talk about the album itself.
Let's. Oh.
The front cover.
Very nice.
It is like a tile floor that almost looks like a brick wall.
They're playing checkers or chess.
A beautiful blue couch. They're playing chess, both Erland and Eric. Eric is barefoot, letting those stompers free. They're both well-dressed. It's a bird's eye view, so you can't see their faces or anything. And then in a nice Arial font, it says... it's not Arial. I don't know what it is. Kings of Convenience in yellow and Peace or Love.
It's a sans serif font.
In a very small font.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like oddly small how small the text is compared to the rest of the album cover.
What's it look like on the spine? Is it really small and hard to read?
Yeah, it's more in a handwriting font as well.
Oh, okay.
But because of the colors on the gray tile, again, you'll see it on your screen if you're watching on Spotify or it's the episode album art. I think it's nice. It's nice and simple.
It's tasteful.
The back is just gray. It's like the same kind of gray as the tiles, but it doesn't keep the tiles, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the songs by side, as well as their song lengths, all written in kind of shaky handwriting.
That's nice. I like when song lengths are included. It's a really minor detail, but I think it's great. Like, why not?
Yeah, sure. I don't like it, but I don't hate it. Underneath the song list, there's a very small photo of Erland and Eric playing guitar, sitting. There's a hill behind them. Looks like they're in Spain.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird... the back is weird.
Yeah.
They should have kept the design, or they should have...
Font either.
They should have made the picture of the whole back or something. Like, I don't know. It is kind of a weirdly small picture. It doesn't even fill up the white space well.
Yeah, it doesn't fill up the dead space.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dead space. And then there's all the credits and stuff on the back in that weird handwritten font with the names in yellow and the info in
Tell
white.
Me about the inside.
It's a gatefold, though, so let's
for
open it up.
For a short album. Tell me about the inside.
We have the lyrics for the songs.
And it's a nice picture of them.
Big, high depth. And there's depth.
There you go.
High def and there's depth.
Bokeh.
Very beautiful guitar. Two handsome Norwegian men. Handwritten font that looks a little weird. Some of it's bolded, some of it's not. Very cool. The record itself. I bought this off Discogs. I was going to get the nicer version with the colored record. I did not.
How much for the nicer version?
Not so much more, but enough that I was like, well,
look
at the sleeve.
Yeah, the sleeve's great.
The sleeve is another nice picture of our two boys.
They're hanging some artwork or
something. Hanging some artwork. Very simple, but also very nice. Maybe taken in the Rocky Trail studio.
Maybe.
Not sure. They're outside. I assume he's wearing sunglasses. It's very bright. It looks like it looks like Greece. I would love to go to Greece.
I'm about to go to Greece.
So jealous. And on the back, the rest of the lyrics that didn't fit on the inside of the gatefold. And again, fonts.
Do you get anything else? Is there like a
thank yous,
little poster or anything?
Not that I'm aware of, actually. I just kind of take out the album. Let's take a look. I hear a digital download code for Creepshow. Wow. The sound of vinyl. You can get it with this code. Other than that, there's nothing inside, and it's one where just one side opens.
If you bought it off Discogs, it's probably used, but I'll try it.
I believe it was sealed when I bought it.
It was sealed? Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
And the record is just black, with the label being the front cover, with the dot being over the chessboard.
Cool.
It's the same on both sides. I want to say... Oh, I have it written down. Perfect. I'm smart. I paid $39 U.S. shipped.
Shipped?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No. I want to say it was like $70 plus shipping for the... I think it's a white version for the nice
one. Oh, very cool. I don't think that adds anything of value to it.
No. Yeah. I'm kind of over just getting a colored one for getting colored. Unless it's like a cool one.
For this one, I would actually probably get the white.
White vinyl. Suits the vibe.
White suits the vibe.
I know.
Very well. It suits actually, the when rest I opened of the it package.
Up, when I opened it up to re-listen to it for this episode, I was like, oh... Because I only recently got it, probably in the last couple months.
The only other color I would accept this in is like a gray or a very light blue. Mm, I think
either... Gray would have been good or clear.
Yeah, really clear would have been okay, but anything else...
Checkerboard.
Weird. Checkerboard would have been sick.
Ska.
But good luck.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What do you think, Ploof? Give us your final verdict.
I'm very 50-50 on this album. I think that the 50 that I'm not as crazy about is perfectly good. Not even just fine, like it's pretty good. Nice and technical and without sounding too technical for the most part, which is probably best for most people. Let's be real. I like how short it is. None of the songs overstay their welcome. These guys know how to end tracks. The songs I really like them. It was really difficult to rate this. And I'm giving it a 9 because cool. I really liked it.
Wow, that's really high.
I don't...
My mouth is agape.
The other...
I thought he was going to give it a 50-50 rating.
Me too. I was like, I was waiting for a 5.
It's because of the 50-50. Like, don't get me wrong. Rocky Trail and like some of the other songs, they're like 10 out of 10. But then the other ones are still like an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Rocky Trail's amazing.
Holy
I love that song.
Smokes.
I love like acoustic guitar. Especially technical acoustic guitar there. And then if you've got a nice voice to go along with it, like the lyrics aren't amazing and I'm like, whatever, they're fine. But like, honestly, if the whole album was more bossa nova, Rocky Trail kind of stuff, it'd probably be a 10. Yeah. Like I don't know. I like my favorite Buckethead album is Acoustic Shards.
A good album.
I like a bunch of Jack Johnson stuff because he plays some weird, like not super technical, but I like the way he plays acoustic guitar.
Oh, I love Jack Johnson.
Like, you know, there's something really nice and pretty about a well-played acoustic guitar, and it sucks because a lot of people kind of like made acoustic guitar not cool by just being bad at it, but like playing around the campfire all the time when they shouldn't be. I don't know. There's like a weird... Acoustic guitar has got a weird vibe to it, but when you do it right, oh my God. And then yeah, Django Reinhardt, I wish I could say I was a big Django fan, but like I have watched a ton of like, you know, those videos of him doing those wild solos and stuff way back in the day, and it's just so impressive. My mind is just blown sometimes watching these guys just finger pick acoustic guitars.
I think MTV Unplugged killed the acoustic guitar.
You think so?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they tried to do it on songs that didn't like it didn't need.
I guess I only know the ones that are
yeah you only know the good ones yeah.
There's plenty of MTV Unplugged albums where the being acoustic adds nothing
of
value.
Yeah, it didn't help at all, but yeah, I think it's great. Like I'm kind of jealous. I kind of want the white version. I'm so torn because yeah, some of the times the lyrics are just whatever, but like, and like I said, I wish there were a few more really technical guitar solos that like sounded like shredding. And they just don't quite get there, but like, yeah, it's like a 9. It's really good.
I agree. Jamie?
I like this album. I think it was very pretty. Some of the lyrics are a little hit or miss, depending on, you know, your perspective on it. But I enjoyed listening to it. And it really set a tone that I really enjoyed, and it kept it through the entire album. It's easy listening without being like inoffensively, like, not, you know, nothing of value. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like restaurant core or something like that, you know? Overall, I'd probably give it a 10 out of 13. It wasn't my favorite of this year, but I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Thank you.
This is a beautiful album for those who like to be sappy or in their feelings, as millennials say. Yeah. Though most of the lyrics stay pretty one note, with it usually boiling down to will they, won't they, the changing bossa nova instrumentation lets you project whatever feelings you have onto each song. If you're happy, the songs are happy. If you're sad, the songs are sad. And that makes this album infinitely listenable to me. I'm putting Peace or Love by Kings of Convenience into the fourth spot, under A New World Record by ELO, and above Evil Urges by My Morning Jacket.
I still don't understand how ELO is at the top.
It really is good. I don't get it. This is easily going to be a record I listen to and put on for company for years to come. I've already put it on, like, weekly, yeah. bi-weekly. I put it on all the time. It's so good.
If you put this on when someone comes over and they complain because they're, like, a metalhead or, like, only into hip-hop or something, then they're just wrong.
Literally, every time I've put it on, someone's been like, that was really nice. That's usually the only response I get, but there's not many records that you get that with more than a couple people, right? And I've had it for several people. I highly recommend checking out this album if you like indie folk music at all. If this any of this is interesting to you, this is worth checking out. But next week, it's Jamie's pick.
We're listening to a song that doesn't... Or sorry, a song. It's listening to an album that doesn't sound anything like this one. It's Smash
by It the is Offspring. The opposite. It's loud. It's abrasive.
Yeah.
The production quality is low. It is something else.
Yeah. We're not listening to this album. Anyway, see you guys next week.
Bye.